Thank you very much.
Just to announce the July conference again, it's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, July 19th through the 22nd. And the we had the flyers, but I didn't have any, only one registration form, so I made copies. So if someone can just hand those out to everyone that got the flyers, and if someone didn't get a flyer, there's one as well. I'm speaking about the kingdom today, and my title is not a New Year's resolution, but a new revolution, that a revolution of changing our mindset and our thinking, the way we think and look at things, that rather than being natural-minded, that we're kingdom-minded in everything that we do. So to start out, I have a video clip, and this is during World War II in Holland. How many of you had heard of Corrie ten Boom in The Hiding Place? Well, this is a clip from a movie, Return to the Hiding Place. And this is about the young people who helped her, and they rescued, again, 800 Jewish people from being killed. And just a little background even of that, Corrie ten Boom's grandfather had started that watchmaker shop 100 years earlier in 1844, and had a Bible study and a prayer meeting every week to pray for the salvation of the Jewish people. And 100 years later, Corrie ten Boom and her family carried out that prayer. They were the answer to that prayer in saving so many Jewish people at the risk of their own lives. So in this scene, the opening scene that I'm playing, it's on a college campus. The Nazis came in 1939. They would fire all of the Jewish professors from the college, so the students were protesting. And the Nazis came on campus this one day and was warning them not to protest or they could be imprisoned and also killed. So let's go to the videotape.
Why is everything always quickly, quickly with the Germans?
What's going on? Jewish professors will no longer be allowed to teach here.
Why? Because Jews... monkeys falling.
It's buffering too much. I'll just explain what's going on.
Jews are not as evolved as the rest of us. If I remember correctly, a monkey failed you last term.
Today, enemies of the Netherlands have been removed from the teaching post at this university. Already a few among you are calling for a rally of protest.
Let me warn you, troublemakers will be put on trains to work camps. This university stands for order and education, and that's exactly what we will have.
Franz van Hasselt, a word with you, if you please.
Come and see.
Lord. I need you to unify the student body, Franz. You are one of them. They trust you. And for the sake of their education and future careers, I need you to unite them in a symbolic gesture.
A symbolic gesture?
An oath of loyalty. Oaths bring out the best in everyone, Franz. They create unity. Bind us together.
This is an oath of loyalty to the Nazi party. I don't think that I can...
Oh, I'm sure you can, Franz. Your younger sister has been caught with resistance literature in her possession. In fact, when we searched your home just a few hours ago, you found a typewriter exactly matching the font of this...
Nonsense!
Please, she's only 12.
No problem, Franz. My men love 12-year-old girls. Distribution.
Hey guys, welcome to... Forward. We're a new type of doctor's office that's providing...
That's the problem with you two. Got this
right. Of resistance literature, Franz. Treason. Automatic death penalty. To show my goodwill, I will give you the power right now to free your family. Simply persuade the students to do what is right and your sister is free. For as the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation.
We, German and Dutch social nationalists, have come to an understanding which is for the good of all. Listen to your own student president, Franz von Hasselt, who wishes to address you.
It was once wisely said to me, as the will of the students goes, so goes the will of the nation. Stand with me today, no matter what the cost. This oath offers allegiance to Adolf Hitler and his kingdom on earth. My allegiance is to the kingdom of heaven!
Just cut it. Yeah, thank you. Yes, and again, you have to realize this is a true story. This was not just Hollywood putting this together. His sister was taken captive, 12 years old. She was being arrested for treason, and yet he chose the kingdom of heaven over bowing to the Nazi demand that they... for have an allegiance to the Nazi party. In Germany, in World War II, there were all the Catholic churches, and 90% of the 79,000 Protestant churches signed an allegiance, took an oath of allegiance to Hitler and to God. So again, why? It was because they were in the natural, actually they had the doctrine of cheap grace during that time, that you could do anything you want and God would still save you. And again, Dietrich Bonhoeffer though stood up and said, no, this is not right, what they're doing to the Jewish people, and of course was in prison, but took a stand. In Romania, how many of you have ever heard of Richard Wurmbrand, tortured for Christ? Well, he and his wife Sabina were sitting in a meeting with 4,000 ministers, and to a one, they stood up and said, We owe our freedom to the Communist Party, and there, Richard and Sabina are sitting there, and Sabina says to Richard, "Richard, go up there and wipe the spit off of Jesus' face. They are spitting on Jesus' face." And he said, "You realize that if I do, you could lose a husband." She said, "I would not want to have a husband as a coward." So he got up, and it was being radio broadcast, and he said, "This is not true. Our freedom is only found in Jesus." Well, they pulled the plug, they stopped the broadcast, but he already had put it out, and because of him standing up, there were others then that took a stand for the kingdom. And again, we need to have a kingdom mindset more and more today, now with the things going on as they do. And again, not be so concerned of what's going on in the natural. And again, in Acts 4:19, the disciples also had a choice of bowing down to the Roman Empire and doing what they told them to do. But they said in Acts 4:19, "But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God.'" Again, they took a stand for the kingdom of God. Now, what is the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven? In Matthew, he calls it the kingdom of heaven. And they say probably because he was writing to Jewish people and they didn't like to use the name of God. But all the rest of the Gospels, it's known as the kingdom of God. So let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start, in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26. God put Adam and Eve in the garden, but it was a kingdom. They had everything that they had need of. They had fellowship with God, and they had dominion over everything. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth.' So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" They had authority over everything, and they were take dominion, but they rebelled against that. They wanted to have control. And in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7, says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say?'" And that's always what it boils down to. When Jesus was being tempted, Satan would come and say, "This is what the Bible says." And Jesus would answer, "What does the scripture say?" And that's what we need to know. What did God say, rather than what does man say? And please stop listening to the news. You don't need to hear all that junk. And be able to go before God to hear what he has to say. Get into his word. That's all we need to know today, not what's going on, what other people say. Anyways, you know how to tell if they're lying. Their mouth is moving. So it's all a lie. And again, it's not them. It's battle between light and darkness. So it's whoever they're listening to and bringing darkness. So did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Putting doubt. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw, and again, she started looking in the natural, she saw something rather than believing what God had said, rather than knowing what their authority was, they started looking and they wanted immediate total gratification of their natural desires. And they saw that it was pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So I have to think of who wrote, boy, now I can't even think of the name of the book. I'll think of it, but let me say what the saying was. They said, when you say what God says, then God will say what you say. But you can't just say anything and expect God to back it up. But if you say the word of God, God will say that. Oh, I just had it. It's on the tip of my tongue. Can you read it? I'll think of it. Okay. So again, they then saw that they were naked after this because they yielded to the temptation. They rejected God's government and set up their own government. So they were kicked out of the kingdom that God had placed them. The angel was guarding it, so they could not eat of the tree of life, so that they would be totally separated from God. But again, we need to see that they had authority. They had everything. Now, when Jesus came, he said, the kingdom of God is here. So he restored the kingdom back. And all through the Bible, though, people are continuing to look in the natural. We see the Abrahamic covenant, and they were, Abraham was following God, but then he would sort of get away from him. Then Isaac, Jacob, we have the kings then, that they rejected God as king, and they wanted a natural king. Even when Moses was leading them, remember they said, Moses, you go talk to God and you just tell us what he said. They didn't want to talk to God face to face, but we can have that face to face relationship with God and hear what he says. And again, like Jesus, he said, not my will, but thine be done. That we need to be so close and intimate that we know God's will every day. It needs to be every day that we're walking in this. So Israel wanted a king, and they rejected God as king in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Says, then all the elders, starting with verse 9, 4, I'm sorry, to verse 9. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, look, you're old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Thanks for telling me. Now make us a king to judge us like all the other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel, and what pleased God, pleased Samuel, what displease God, displease Samuel, and we need to get to that place too, where if the Lord talks about caring and for the people that are being shown injustice. That again, it's not social justice, it's God's justice that we need to be adamant about. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." So Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me." They rejected God as their king, that I should reign over them, according to all the works which they had done since the day that I brought them out of Egypt, even to this day, with which they have forsaken me and served other gods. So they are doing to you also. Now therefore, take heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly warn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. And how many of you know choices have consequences, right? So here they rejected God as their king. And so he's showing them, and all through the Bible we see if you do this, this is what happens. I set before you life and death. But then God even says, choose life. I mean, he even gives us the answer, you know, so we need to listen to that. Again, 1 Samuel 8:10. So Samuel spoke all the words of the Lord to the people who had asked him a king. He said, there will be the procedure of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and place them for himself in his chariots and among his horsemen. They will run before his chariots. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and of fifties, and some to do his plowing and to reap his harvest and to make his weapons of war and equip him for his chariots. He will also take your daughters for perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and your vineyards and your olive groves and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and all your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will also take your male servants and your female servants and your best young man and your donkeys and use them for his work. He will take a tenth of your flock and you yourselves will become his servants. And again, why? Because in a kingdom, the king owns everything. So what do you think that means for us? If God is our king, he owns everything. So do we have to worry about anything? No, because he's promised to provide for us. So he owns the people, the land, the resources, all is at his disposal. And again, from that time on, they had kings, and of course they had Saul as king, and he was sort of the People's Choice Awards. You know, he looked good on the outside, but things went south really quickly. And then David, a man after God's own heart, but they would have, from that time on, good king, bad king, good king, bad king. And none of the good kings were as good as David, and the wicked kings were more wicked than the ones before them. So again, because of having a natural king, they suffered. We see under Asa that the prophet came to him, said, if you seek the Lord, he will be found by you. So Asa made a covenant in the 15th year of his reign, and they enjoyed peace then for 20 years because of that. But then it said in the 36th year, And why? Because they, again, started looking at the natural. A king came in to conquer them, and rather than seeking God, he tried to pay him off. And how many of you know you can't pay the enemy off, that they, whatever is coming in, you can't compromise, and you can't look for natural ways to defeat the enemy. You have to look to God and go his way. So again, even the prophet came and said, you've done a foolish thing. And rather than Asa repenting, he got mad and even threw the prophet in jail. And again, it went downhill from there. Hezekiah, the first year that he was in reign, he made a covenant with God, so things were going along really good. And then another king came against him, Sennacherib, and he tried to bribe him. He took all the gold and silver out of the temple, out of his palace, and tried to give it to him. And Sennacherib went away, and then he's back, and he wanted more. So this time, Hezekiah took the letter of threat and went up before the Lord and said, God, he's threatening you. He put it in the right place. He realized, and you need to realize when the enemy messes with you, he's messing with God. He's messing with one of God's children, and so we can go to the Lord. So another kingdom that I want to look at, and again, no matter what is going on in the natural around us, that if we choose always the kingdom of God, things are going to come against us, because again, it's a spiritual battle, light and darkness. So the enemy doesn't like us being over here in the light, because it reveals what he is doing. But looking at Daniel, and we see Judah is taken into captivity. Why? They disobey God. And so they're in captivity for 70 years. But there were four Hebrew children, Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego. And constantly they were, even when they first came, they were asked to eat the king's food, and they said, no, we want to have our own food, and they were 10 times better than all the others. And then Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he went to all the magicians, the soothsayers, everyone, and said, I not only want you to tell me the interpretation, I want you to tell me what the dream was. Because evidently they, because they didn't have any divine power, so they would just sort of make things up and to sort of soothe him. And so none of them could do it. So there was an edict that they were to kill all of these men, and again, the counselors, and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also in that number. The vision interpretation came to Daniel. And this is so cool, right in the middle of a hostile kingdom comes the kingdom of God and how it's going to come. Daniel 2:28, starting with, Daniel says, but there is a God in heaven. He asked whether Daniel could interpret the dream, and he said, no, that men can't know this, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions, he didn't have visions of sugar plum dancing in his head, up on your bed were these. And again, the image had a gold head, and this was talking about Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian kingdom. The arms were silver, talking about the Medo-Persia kingdom that was to come. The belly and thighs were of bronze, talking about Greece. The legs of iron, talking about Rome. And then the feet of iron and clay, the divided kingdom. And then verse 34, you watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. The stone that the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them were found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Yes. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Yes. Forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. again, it sounds like Isaiah 9:7. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish with judgment and justice from that time and forevermore. Yes. So again, they did not compromise, and again it was tested. They had Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They told to bow down to an image. They said no, and Daniel 3:16-18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O God. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And it's interesting to use gold, and that was the part of the statue that represented his kingdom. And 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they were thrown into the furnace. They came out without a hair singed, not even smelling of smoke, and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word. And again, the king would put out a decree, and it could not be made null and void, but God frustrated it. Yes. And he can overturn no matter who says something, because his word is powerful. Yes. Let's say frustrated and yielded their bodies. What does this sound like? Romans 12:1-2. Therefore I urge you, brothers, on account of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we see throughout their captivity and that they didn't compromise, and even how they prospered in this hostile kingdom. And so what do you think that says about us? Would we be able to prosper no matter what the economy is going around us?
Amen, yes.
Okay, Matthew 6:28. Again, Jesus speaks of the kingdom. And again, he came to establish his kingdom on earth. They were looking for an earthly kingdom. They were looking for someone to release them from the oppression of the Romans, but he came to set them free on so many levels. Matthew 6:28. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry saying, and again, how do we worry? By saying. How do we operate in faith? We say, we speak to those situations. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you as well. So when we submit to God's rule, when we look to him, and again, stop listening to the negativity of supply chain. My God shall supply all of your need according to his glorious riches, that he has unlimited means. And I've even started praying to the Lord, asking where I should go to shop to find the things. And just one, it happens every time, but one time when it was just overwhelming as I was looking for Christmas presents before Christmas, and I felt like I should go into this store that I usually don't go to, and I was looking for some gift sets of different things, and they had exactly what I wanted, buy one, get one free. So the larger gift sets were $25.95. So I was able to get two, buy one, get one free, and then two of the smaller ones for, it was the Hickory Farm summer sausage and cheese, and the smaller ones were $14.95. I was able to get buy one, get one free, so I saved just on that $40.95. Then I found the perfect gift for my hairdresser, and at the price that I was wanting to pay. Then I needed gas, and I went past a gas station that I liked, and they hadn't changed their price, and it was even lower than the gas cash-only price at some of the others further down the road. And then needed some groceries, and not only got the things, all the things on my list, making a list and checking it twice, but even some of the things that I had on there that I wanted to get eventually, everything was on sale. Buy one, get 50% off, or a certain amount discounted, or buy one, get one free. I was able to get it all, so I saved well over $100 just that one day. And again, God can lead and direct us. It says the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And so again, looking at the spiritual aspect, we see in Genesis, again, how did Adam take dominion and rule? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2 now, verse 18. God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. All the men say amen.
Amen. Right?
I will make him a helper suitable for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. Did you know everything has a name? But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. That is, what are we calling things? Are we calling ourselves healed, or are we calling ourselves sick? Are we calling ourselves poor, or are we calling ourselves rich? When my husband got promoted to heaven, he gave me, and even before this, was speaking to me that I am strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might I stand. So people always ask me, how are you doing? And I say that. Do I feel it every time I say it? Not before, but after I say it, I am strong. So we need to speak what we want rather than what we have, and not look at the natural. Again, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. And even the says where it says, I am strong, it says, I am a warrior. So everyone go, hoorah!
Right.
You're a warrior. You're a champion. In Mark 11, 23 and 24. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says, again, what are we saying? To this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you will have them. So again, what we say, Romans 4, Abraham, who was the father of faith, what did he do? He looked at his body, and even though it was as good as dead, he called things that were not, without weakening in his faith, it says. He called things as though they were. Yes. And again, one last scripture verse, Job 22, 28. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. That we need to start decreeing, declaring, and speaking the word, because the word has promised that it will not return void. It will be sent out, and it will do all that it was sent to accomplish. Amen.